Thank you all. At this time, we will reconvene the regular session of the Conservation Committee. As you will recall, we moved several agenda items to this afternoon. The first being item number 5, which has been removed from the agenda. We now go to committee item number 6, acceptance of land donation, Kendall and Bandera Counties, 3,700 acres at the 3K Ranch. Mr. Corky Coleman.
Good afternoon. For the record, Corky Coleman with the Land Conservation Program. This is a land donation in Kendall and Bandera County. You can see the area it's in. It's kind of in the middle of Hill Country, Guadalupe River, and Government Canyon. It is a land donation from the Albert and Bessie Kronkowski, 3,700 acres. It is about 5 to 6 miles west of Burney on Highway 46. The infrastructure is all located along 46. It has one main house, which has not been occupied in a while, large garage and outbuildings. There is a ranch manager's residence that goes with it that is currently lived in by a caretaker paid for by the trust. It is high fenced. The fence is all in good shape. We've been over a lot of it. There's some water gaps out, but other than that, the fence is all in pretty good shape for surrounding the entire property. There's a lot of live water on it. About a mile and a half of pipe creek, a couple of stock tanks, and some seasonal creeks. The views are magnificent on the whole property. My camera ability doesn't do them justice, but here's just a few of the views along the hilltops. A summary of the property, like I said, 2.5 miles of State Highway 46 frontage. The housing complex and infrastructure is in good shape. A large amount of pipe creek, good fence, a good road network. Most of the roads are in need of repair. We've had biologists on it from the Wildlife Division. They've already identified over 150 different plant species, most of them native plants. At least we figure right now about half the site is potential golden cheek warbler habitat. We'd like permission to begin the public notice and input process. One of the things the slide does not show, we do expect to come back to you with a decision on this donation in January. We have to report back to the trust by March 1st of next year. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Any questions or comments for Cole?
I'll just say when you report back, you are going to report on the details of the restrictions of the in the will or the trust agreement.
We will hopefully find out. We will come back to you with a couple of things. Hopefully by the January meeting, we will have a good idea whether we will or recommend that it be a wildlife management area or maybe a state natural area, which direction we're going to go. Any deed restrictions that may be associated with the property, we'll do as much research as we can between now and then. Yes, sir. Find out about mineral rights, hopefully.
Well, I'm talking about a report on the restrictions that don't over placed on the gift.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Any other comments for Corky on this item?
Well, the group could be an exciting.
Yes, sir.
Especially where it's located. So
it's
close
a very
to.
Nice piece of property. Good access. Along 46, there's probably 4 or 5 entrances into place other than the main entrance into the residential compound.
And what are you talking about? 45 minutes from San Antonio and kind of...
If that much.
That
I mean,
much,
if
yeah.
if you get on Interstate 10 and it's just, it's 6 miles to the corner of the property from Interstate 10 on 46.
If there are no additional comments, I'll authorize staff to begin the public notice and input process. I failed to announce that in executive session committee item number 10, personnel matters, performance evaluation of TPWD executive director was tabled for later discussion. Not a good time.
Never had to put it off.
We're going to let him worry for a while.
Yeah. Okay. Moving along. Committee item number 7, request for easement, Brazoria County power line easement at the Justin Hurt Wildlife Management Area. Mr. Ted Hollingsworth.
Chairman, commissioners, good evening. My name is Ted Hollingsworth.
I'm with the Land Conservation Program.
Are you rubbing that in?
In case I start dozing off, you'll know. This particular item pertains to a request for an easement at the Justin Hurst Wildlife Management Area. The Justin Hurst Wildlife Management Area is right down on the coast in Brazoria County. It's due south of downtown Houston, about 55 miles. It's about 10,000 acres, largely coastal prairie and coastal marshes with some riparian areas and some small savanna or wooded areas. The easement request is to get power to a cathodic protection station. Cathodic protection is a process by which pipelines are charged negatively, if I'm not mistaken. The cathode is placed in the ground. And what this does is this dramatically reduces the rate of oxidation or corrosion of the metals in the pipeline. Currently, there are several pipelines, three or four pipelines in this corridor belonging to the Dow Chemical Company. They have cathodic protection on them up to the boundary of the wildlife management area. The Dow has been able to determine that they can't charge the pipelines enough in these soils to provide adequate protection across the wildlife management area. And so they requested this easement, which would involve a 10-foot corridor for about 1,100, 1,200 foot of overhead power line running along the existing road in the W Bay. It would service a fenced-in site where there would be a transformer station which would charge the cathode. The cathode would go into a hole drilled in the ground within that 50-foot by 50-foot cathode protection site. Again, the intent is to protect, is to extend the life of the pipeline, and quite frankly, to reduce the chances of there of being a pipeline failure. Because for those reasons, the staff at the WMA does really believe that it's in the best interest of the Justin Hurst Wildlife Management Area to grant this easement under the normal terms and conditions to provide that additional protection to those pipelines that cross the WMA. This is a two-meeting process because it is a request for an easement, and we're here to request permission to begin the public notice and input process. Be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Ted? Commissioner Duggan.
Is there any chance that we can get the power line buried?
I don't know that staff has asked that question. We can certainly go back and ask that question. It's, as you know, much more expensive to bury that line.
But it's not, this area is rocky. It shouldn't be all that
it's
expensive.
It's dense gumbo clay.
Yeah. I think you should explore that since you say it's an important migratory waterfowl site.
Yes, sir. I don't know if Dennis Gissel is in the room, but I would be surprised if he hasn't explored that, but we'll be absolutely sure that's explored and that staff is convinced that is not a reasonable and prudent audit alternative before we come back.
Thank you, Ted. Any other questions or discussion on this issue? If there are none, I'll authorize staff to begin the public notice and input process. Committee item number 8, request for easement, Briscoe County Transmission Line crossing Half Rock Canyons Trailway. Once again, Ted.
Commissioner, Chairman, Commissioners, my name is Ted Hollingsworth. I'm with the Land Conservation Program. This item pertains to another request for an easement. This easement in Briscoe County for a CREZ line, in fact, a 345 kilovolt transmission line to cross the Cap Rock Canyon Trailways. The trailway actually spans three counties, but the specific location being requested is in Briscoe County, in the southern portion of the trail. I know this is a fairly complicated picture, but as you heard from Kathy this morning, many routes are evaluated for each reach. This is the Silverton to Tesla reach, which she touched on in her presentation. This is just a few of the routes that were evaluated, and I apologize for the graphics, but that squiggly thin green line is the trailway. You might recall from Kathy's presentation that the route we recommended, that the agency recommended, is that purple route, pretty much the southernmost route, in part because it would bypass the trailway. Two specific routes have been proposed before the PUC, the first and second settlement routes. After the first route was published, the staff of this agency expressed a great deal of concern about its closeness to the railroad tunnel, which is full of Mexican free-tailed bats, and about its about the terrain, which is pretty rugged in this location, and is much of the aesthetic appeal of the trailway. The second settlement route addresses those concerns. It's about 5 miles farther, puts it about 7 miles from the bat tunnel. It also places it in basically rolling agricultural land away from the more aesthetically interesting portions of the trailway. Again, it is part of the CREZ initiative. Do want to point out that this commission has complete jurisdiction over whether or not to issue this easement. If the easement is not issued, the issue will have to go back. The PUC will have to, in effect, remand the process to be started over again to evaluate routes that would bypass the trailway, including the route that was recommended by Texas Parks and Wildlife in the first place. Staff would like to point out the fact that we don't believe the hurdle for feasible and prudent alternatives has been adequately met in this proposal. Staff is concerned about the issuance of an easement that we're not required to issue, and the precedent that would set, the expectation that would set, that people can cross our properties, not just trailways, but state parks and other wildlife management areas. Staff is already aware of another utility company that probably is going to come in with requests to put in parallel utility corridors. The concern is that this would open the door for more high lines crossing the trailway. And obviously, even if it's a otherwise boring stretch of trailway, a high line crossing that is a considerable visual impact for our hikers and bikers on the trailway. In the event the commission should decide to have staff grant that easement, we feel like there are mitigatory measures that can be taken on that entire 80-mile reach of this CREZ line that would reduce its impact to all fish and wildlife resources, not just at the trailway. This is the first of a two-meeting process, but we are looking for input from the commission, and if you so charge, we would proceed to request public input. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
So I understand that this route has yet to be selected, but in order for them to get the selection, we have to grant the easement. Is that correct?
This is the route that the PUC has identified in their, Kathy, what's it called?
The settlement.
In their settlement? This is the settlement route. This is the route that the PUC has tentatively said would be okay if barriers such as crossing the trailway could be overcome.
When you say this, though, which of the routes are you referring to by this?
That's the second settlement route.
That's totally unacceptable, you said.
Staff believes this sets a precedent that may cause us problems in the long term. Yes, sir. And regardless of the fact that this is otherwise not the most interesting portion of the trail, it still is a significant visual and aesthetic impact to the trailway. I would also point out, although this is not a public meeting today, we do have a representative from the applicant in the audience today, in case you'd like to direct any questions to him.
I have serious concerns over the proximity to the bats, and I've ridden this trail, and it's quite scenic, and the flat stretches are, you know, scenic to the eye of the beholder, I suppose. But I think that this would be a serious error to try to place one of the towers, which is not a normal transmission tower. This is a very large structure, and I think it would have severe impact not only on the trail but on the state park itself. I would be hard pressed to want to do this. Is there any other discussion? If there is none, I'll authorize staff to begin the public notice and input process. Item number 9, no action is needed at this time. Then we move to item number 11, committee, land exchange, Blanco County, 300 acres for the Pernelli's Falls State Park Conservation Project resolution. Once again, Ted.
You dressed nicely today.
I can fix that. Chairman, Commissioners, good afternoon. My name is Ted Hollingsworth. I'm with the Land Conservation Program. This is the second reading of this item, which you heard at the last commission meeting. And just to briefly go over the history of this Pernelli's Falls in northern Blanco County, about 30 miles west of downtown Austin. The park is severed by a county road, and it's getting to be a busier and busier county road. And for that reason, there's a 320-acre tract south of the road that in the current public use plan, there's no public use recommended. The fear of staff and the fear of management has historically been that somebody would get struck by a vehicle crossing the road, quite frankly. And because there is no proposed public use for that tract, in 2004, the General Land Office identified the tract as underutilized, submitted that in writing in their annual appraisal, submitted that to the governor's office for their concurrence. They did concur. The tract was placed on the market for sale. It is occupied by golden cheek warblers, and so we worked with the staff at the General Land Office and came to an agreement that if a conservation bank approved by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service could be created on this 320-acre tract, that would constitute a highest and best use, and the General Land Office would make no further effort to have the tract disposed of. We got about 4 years into the process of creating a bank when we determined that a bank would probably be better held and managed by someone in the private sector that avoids the appearance that we're in the credit brokering business, which we really don't want to be in. So we put out a request for proposals. We received two proposals. The proposal that scored highest was from Pedernales Blue Hole Limited. They own a 235-acre tract overlooking Pernelli's Falls. Their proposal is to attempt to create a conservation bank on the 320-acre tract we own, and assuming they're successful, exchange that tract, fee ownership, for a view shed or conservation easement on the 235-acre tract. The track comes down to the falls. This is the view. This shot is taken from the observation deck in the state park. This is the track in question. The track immediately upstream is a fairly high bluff piece of property, and although someone could certainly build a home on the bluff overlooking the falls, that low bluff overlooking the falls was considered by staff to be the greatest risk to the visual and aesthetic experience of being at the falls. This map shows that easement tract north of the park. It would be contiguous with the better part of a mile of boundary that we now own, and it also shows the 320-acre tract severed by the county road at the south end of the park. If you authorize the executive director to proceed on this path, just be aware that it's a couple-year process to get the conservation bank consummated by U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. We got a letter just this last week from Fish and Wildlife Service concurring in principle with this process and agreeing that the tract is eligible in private ownership for the creation of a conservation bank. The advantages are that if we don't do this, GLO has every legal authority to take this piece of property and sell it without any restrictions on it. If we do this, the 320-acre tract remains in conservation, and a 235-acre tract enters into conservation. And that's really the net benefit of the proposal. With that, the staff recommends that the Texas Parks and Wildlife Commission adopt the following motion. The Texas Parks and Wildlife Commission adopts by resolution in Exhibit A the provisions of this land exchange in Blanco County. Be happy to take any questions.
Commissioner Duggins.
Does the conservation easement on the exchange track include any restrictions on groundwater extraction?
Those terms have not been worked out yet, and to be very candid, the owner of that tract has retained a consultant at fairly considerable expense and wanted the commission to authorize this transaction before spending a whole lot of money hammering out the details of the two agree of the agreement, of the exchange agreement, of the conservation easement. Essentially what the staff would do is authorize the executive director to continue with this process and not proceed until the executive director had determined that all the terms and conditions were in the best interest of Parks and Wildlife. So those details have not been worked out at this point, to answer your question. My assumption is that it would be based on our conservation easement template, which always restricts groundwater withdrawal to permitted domestic use only.
Any other comments or questions for Ted? If there are none, I'll place this item on the Thursday Commission agenda for public comment and action. We now will go to agenda item or committee item number 2, Val Verde County Land Project, Devil's River State Natural Area Property Exchange. Scott Moore.
Mr. Chairman and Commissioners, for the record, my name is Scott Borff, Deputy Executive Director of Operations. I'm here today to brief you on the Devil's River Project in Val Verde County. As a reminder, I have briefed this commission on three previous occasions about this project as we've moved along. And for the benefit of the public who has come here today to listen to this, first of all, our apologies for taking so long today. Second of all, because of the time constraints here, you, the commission, have asked me to keep this somewhat briefer than I normally would do. And to that end, I'm going to abbreviate the number of slides you see, and they will not correspond with the slides that are on your computer because we made a last-minute change. I'm only going to use 3 slides here as opposed to 54, but I will make a genuine effort to share with you what we have come to find out from our exercise in terms of listening to the public. Also, very much want to thank you for your considered response to allowing us to have more time to let the public have comments. That was one of the things we had heard from the public, that they didn't feel like there had been an opportunity for them to fully digest the tenets of the project and have a thoughtful amount of time to come back to us with their feedback. So we appreciate that. We've got a lot of feedback just in the last day or so that the public appreciates that too, and I just wanted the commission to know that. Number 2, before I get started, I really would be remiss in this project if I didn't thank the staff. There's been a tremendous amount of time put into this analysis over the last 6 months to a year. Folks like Ted Hollingsworth, who's been up here in front of you, but a lot of folks that you don't see very often. Brent Leisure, our new State Parks Director, has been very involved with this, as has his on-the-ground staff, Mike Hill and Joe Ranzau out in the state natural area. Our project management office, led by Jeannie Munoz and Larry Seek, have been extremely involved in this. Lydia Saldana's shop has been very involved in trying to help communicate to the public what we're trying to do. Colonel Flores has been involved in this project in terms of trying to help us identify new ways to get law enforcement on the ground and in the water out there, because that is one of the major issues that we found as we went out and started looking at this project. So before I start on the presentation, I do want to thank those folks personally and professionally for doing what they've done. as I said, we're going to keep this relatively short. This first slide, the one of the three you're going to have the benefit of today, is just a shot that kind of gives you a flavor for the real natural beauty that this river represents to the state of Texas. It is indeed probably the most pristine river in the state of, that's left in the state of Texas. And, you know, we'd also be remiss if we didn't point out that it's not just the river out there. That this is an incredible wilderness part of the state of Texas that is, I have come to clearly appreciate the fact that a lot of people love this area. And whether they agree or disagree on the tenets of this proposal, we have gotten a clear consensus that taking care of the Devil's River and its surrounds is a major point of interest for everybody that, that has given us feedback. What I would propose to do for the rest of the briefing is just reference the maps, and I'll do the rest of this verbally. As you know, we have been looking at this project and its genesis over a year ago. We were made aware of the fact that the Devil's River Ranch, which you see in the yellow outline on this map, was available for sale. It is a 18,000-acre piece of property, which is contiguous to the Amistad National Recreation Area, as you can see. It represents, or is situated along the far southern end of the Devil's River, which runs some 40 miles through Val Verde County. I'm going to use this pointer, if you will allow me, to kind of point to this map. As we have gone out, and so the proposal that's on the table, as you will recall, is when we first started looking at and trying to analyze whether this fit our mission or not, and we came to believe that that was the case, that we then began to look at how we could manage the financial issues of purchasing this property. The subject property, the Devil's River Ranch in yellow, has appraised at about $16 million. The Devil's River State Natural Area, which is about 2,000 acres less, about 18,000 acres, has appraised at $8 million. And so we became faced with a $8 million delta. At that point, we went to the landowner that owned the Devil's River Ranch. It took us quite some time, several months of discussions and negotiations with the landowner before he concurred to contemplate a swap. And so the proposal that has been on the table has been to trade the state natural area and $8 million in difference for the Devil's River Ranch. You may recall that there are significant access issues to the state natural area. The road is very difficult and is crossed by Dolan Creek some 30 times. Once you're in the state natural area, the access and the ability to distribute visitors around the site is extremely limited. The Devil's River Ranch, conversely, is much easier to get to. The access to the ranch is much more direct. And the roads inside the ranch would allow us, if we were to do this, to be able to distribute people more effectively across the ranch. We have been out for the last 30 or 40 days talking to the public. We have briefed our conservation partners, which we do a couple times a year. And this last meeting, we tried to bring them up to the current status on the project. That occurred early in October. Since then, we have met with the Devil's River Association, which is a group of primarily landowners, but not exclusively, that have an interest in and hold land along the Devil's River to seek their feedback. We've been out to two public meetings, one in Del Rio and one in San Antonio, where we had very good participation. We had 57 or 58 people, I believe, that signed up for the meeting in Del Rio, and I think 75 folks that signed up for the meeting in San Antonio. There were many issues that had been identified by us prior to the public meetings, and I want to spend two or three minutes here just telling you what some of the issues are along the river that we identified as we rolled out into the public to seek their feedback. This river is primarily accessible to the public right now at a spot called Baker's Crossing, and it's right up there, kind of on the northern end of this map, the topmost part of the map. There is indeed 15 or more miles of river above this, but the public does not typically access above this point, so most of the debate has centered around what this project would do and what it would mean to the use of the river, which, as you can see, runs down here all the way into the Amistad National Recreation Area. What we were keenly aware of is that there has been a long-standing user conflict, particularly along the northern stretch of the river. Most of the ranches up here are large holdings, and there is relatively little, very little development along this stretch of the river. So it has become a very popular place for avid paddlers to go and have a genuine wilderness river experience. So they can at this point put in at the Baker's Crossing. If they get in early enough at the Baker's Crossing and are pretty good at their craft, they can get all the way down this 14 miles between the Baker's Crossing and our bank along the Devil's River State Natural Area. And there are no other public facilities or opportunities for camping along this upper stretch. And so for conscientious paddlers, they can put in early in the day here. They can have a pretty long, I've heard it usually takes 10 hours more or less, maybe 12 in some cases, but certainly 10, to get down to the Devil's River State Natural Area where they then can camp because it's public property. And we have four campsites that are situated along the banks there near Dolan Falls. And I'll talk about Dolan Springs, and we'll talk about the springs in just a minute. So the issue there has been that there are paddlers who don't make that trip in a day, and so they end up trespassing along these pieces of private property up here because they're forced, as darkness falls, to get out of their canoes and find a place to camp. And while most paddlers, I believe, and we have heard, are certainly conscientious folks that try to do the right thing, there's a certain element of the folks that are doing that kind of paddling trip that then take additional liberties with that private property in terms of littering. There are episodes where they've chopped down trees, those kinds of things. There are occasionally confrontations between these paddlers and the landowners who are asking them to move on. So we were keenly aware of the fact that there's been this conflict for some time on the northern part of the river, and it's mostly because of the geography. It's just a long way to get from Baker's Crossing down to the state natural area, and folks are forced, because they don't plan well or for whatever reason, they leave too late in the day, to end up stopping on private property. So we knew that was a backdrop at the upper end of the river. Add to that the issue that we are very sensitive to, which is the state natural area is an incredibly pristine piece of property in and of itself. There are endangered and threatened species there. There's one of the most significant springs in the state of Texas there that provides a significant portion of the inflow to the river from that point downwards. The springs are very visible and very accessible from the river there. There is a lot of science that's been done on this property for many decades, so there's extreme scientific interest, and there's a robust body of science that's come off of this property. We'd remind you this is a state natural area, not a state park, and there is a clear distinction. State natural areas require a much more keen focus on the natural and cultural assets or the natural and cultural features of the landscape. But we do not believe that state natural areas and public access are or should be mutually exclusive. And so while we recognize and have been very sensitive to the fact that this is an extraordinarily sensitive natural and cultural area, we also hope that the folks could enjoy that as much as possible. That was indeed part of the genesis of us being so interested in the Devil's River Ranch. The middle part of the river, to move on down the river, is characterized by more development. As you move down towards the blue circle here, which is a part of the river called the Blue Sage Subdevelopment, it's characterized by somewhat smaller land holdings and more folks and quite a bit more development. If you fly over this or when you paddle through here, your view shed is not nearly as pristine and it's not as much of a wilderness experience as the upper part of the river. And then as you come on down the river to the subject property, the Devil's River Ranch, as the river curls around and heads into the lake, there is a lake effect. And I will remind you, I think I've said this before, but the National Park Service actually owns both sides of this river, a small strip along each side of this river already, of about 4.5 miles. So of the 10 miles of river frontage that this property represents, just less than half of that is already in public ownership, at least right along the edge of the river. Now, in talking to the National Park Service, which we have, they have clearly recognized that there is not much public access there. It may be available, but the only way to get up to this property would be to take a motorized boat and come up as far as the water level would allow, which in normal conditions is maybe 2 miles or so up this river, where the river experiences the lake effect. So there is concern, and much of the concern that we heard from a recreational perspective was that if we effectuate this exchange, we're going to eliminate the opportunity for someone to start at Baker's Crossing and take a long day's paddle and have a place to stay. So that was one of the major concerns we heard in the public feedback. We heard from folks along the lower stretch of the river that there was concern that this would in effect push the public use from the upper part of the river to the lower part of the river, and that that would cause the associated problems of increased litter and increased trespassing down on this part of the river. So that was a concern we heard from folks along the lower part of the river. We certainly have heard from our conservation partners that there is a concern about any precedent that we might set by disposing of state natural areas, and that it might somehow signal a lack of commitment or a lack of ongoing focus on state natural areas. We certainly do not have that intent, and I think we have a long recent track record of adding land to other state natural areas, but that is a concern that's been expressed, and I think it's a valid concern. There are significant cultural features on both of these ranches. There's some incredible rock art on both. There are actually, we've done the background checking on this, there are actually 57 known sites on each of these pieces of property. The relative value, I don't think we quite know yet. The opinion from our archaeologists is that there may well be some increased interest or some increased importance to the sites at the Devil's River Ranch. Nonetheless, I think the primary thing that the staff was looking at as we looked at this is that both of these properties are under conservation easements right now, and they are strict conservation easements. The Devil's River Ranch was placed under such an easement when it was originally purchased or soon thereafter, state natural area, pardon me. The Devil's River Ranch was placed in a conservation easement by the owner voluntarily 7.5 or 8 years ago. Both of those conservation easements are held by the Nature Conservancy, who, by the way, has a presence on this river and a long history of trying to help preserve the river. They own that orange property, or the property that's outlined in orange there, right across from the state natural area. They also, in total, own manage some 150,000 acres of land along the Devil's River that are under conservation easements. So one of the things that we looked at was, you know, how effectively is the holder of the conservation easement going to be able to manage these properties, whether this deal goes through or not. We think it's a good omen that the Nature Conservancy has a property there. They have an on-site manager, a Devil's River site manager, who will be able to monitor the conservation easements on both of these properties, regardless of how this project rolls out. The financing for this property at this point, there was an $8 million delta. We have $2 million and some change in state dollars. We have about $2 million in federal dollars through the Land and Water Conservation Fund, and we have $2 million that's been committed to by a private donor. So the delta, as the project has stood to date, has been about $2 million short, and we've been out looking to fill that gap. I guess at this point maybe I should stop and see if there's any questions. I'll certainly have lots more to say, but in order to keep this relatively brief, I'll be glad to answer questions of interest. And by the way, I was going to say earlier and I didn't, I do have a 54 slide PowerPoint, and if any of the members of the audience are interested in that PowerPoint, since we weren't able to give the whole thing today, if you would come see me right after this meeting, I'll be glad to make you a copy of that on a CD or DVD or whatever the technology is that allows that to happen, and we'll get you that. But at this point, I'd be glad to take questions in order to keep this fairly brief.
Scott, and I appreciate the time you and Carter and your staff, and you've named most of them, have been working on this project. And certainly we have followed the process in all ways, policy, legally, and if you'll remember, it was on the agenda to vote for the commission, excuse me, to vote on it tomorrow. And then we did take it off the agenda, and we did that because we have gotten great feedback from a lot of people and a lot of groups, of course, along the Devil's River itself, but also around the state, very interested in this uniqueness of this situation. And they've been very open with us relative to the process and feeling that maybe the process is moving a little too quickly. And they've also brought to us some very good alternatives. And so we've spent, sorry we took so long in our executive session, but that's what we spent a lot of time talking about. The last couple of weeks, this has been number one priority because we think the opportunities here are second to none. And so we want the staff to go forward, okay, but we are not going to vote on it tomorrow. And let me read the mission of Texas Parks and Wildlife, because this is what we always come back to as a commission as we're trying to think of these, all the different alternatives. And we know for every positive there can be a negative for somebody. But our job is, as an agency, is to represent all the citizens of the state of Texas. And the mission essentially says to manage and conserve the natural and cultural resources of Texas and to provide hunting, fishing, and outdoor recreation opportunities for the use and enjoyment of present and future generations. And there's no doubt about it, this is a very unique site. It's a very, very unique piece of property. There's uniqueness to the way this deal was originally kind of talked about and structured. But we have a very willing seller. We have potential, we think, to raise other funds and maybe do it in a different way. Some of the alternatives have been brought to us by our friends who have felt that the process has maybe moved a little too quickly, have been eye-opening. Okay, so what it's allowed us to do then as a commission is to become, at least in my case, and I believe the other commissioners would agree, more broad-minded in looking at this opportunity. So what we've asked the staff to do, Scott and Carter leading it, is to let's figure out how to make this work. Okay, the river itself is too important, okay, and we need to be, we're already part of it, obviously not just as a state agency, but because of the state natural area, and we understand the worries of the landowners there, or the worries of the paddlers, the worries of conservationists, we want to make sure we take all that into consideration. On the other hand, we're also Texas Parks and Wildlife, okay, and there are 23 million people in a state that's become more and more urban, and this has great opportunity at some level to open up a wild area for families, okay, to get out into nature, to get into wildlife, and to become part of our natural resources. And so what we're going to do is step back, I guess would be a good way to put it, look at all the alternatives, and like I say, we've had some good ones brought to us, and have asked the staff to move forward. So we're going to move forward quickly. In other words, this is going to keep moving at a rapid pace. So I would ask all of you that are here interested today and or as you pass it out, any ideas, thoughts that you may have, please bring them to us. But we do have some other alternatives that have come up just in the last couple of days that look like may give us some real opportunity to really add something to our park system that, in my opinion, is second to none, not only in the state, but maybe in the United States, for wildness and yet some accessibility so families and others could take advantage of that without disturbing and creating issues for those that live out there and trying to find it. We understand that you always have to find a balance, but we want to work with everybody. So that's why that vote was put off for tomorrow. I know some people felt it was rushed. But we are going to move forward and pursue this opportunity. So, Scott, I appreciate you taking the time and effort, and I know you wanted to give your 54 slide presentation.
Very
I don't know if I could have stayed awake in it, but it's such a unique area. It's a phenomenal area, and it's a beautiful area, and we can manage it and conserve it and do it the right way. It'll become a jewel in our park system, and so we have to pursue this. I just believe so strongly in that. But I will promise the public we will do it in a correct manner and an open manner and a transparent manner. And so I appreciate you taking the time and effort and all your staff. But I am asking you to go forward. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Any other questions or comments on this particular issue? Like I say, anybody who's interested after the meetings today and tomorrow, please get hold of myself, Carter, any of the commissioners. I know people have strong feelings about this one way or the other. And, of course, we're getting lots of feedback both ways. And our job as a state agency is to take into consideration all of those and then make our decision. And we will do that as a very conscientious commission.
Chairman, I just want to make sure I understand as we go forward in your words. You want us to look at the range of actions and alternatives that are available to help advance conservation and appropriate recreation on the river. And we've heard those ideas from landowners, our conservation partners, our paddlers, our recreation issues, and then bring back a suite of alternatives then that are available to help achieve both parts of our mission, from a conservation and an outdoor recreation, and most importantly, taking care of this extraordinary place. Is that?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes. You probably said it in a lot shorter time than I did, but absolutely. And as you know, because Carter and I have been talking about this day and night for the last week or two, every day it's been interesting. As more people have gotten involved, it's kind of none of us is as smart as all of us. There have been some really terrific thoughts and ideas of ways that we can be part of improving and preserving the wildness out there, and yet at the same time allow others to be able to take advantage of it and use it in an appropriate manner. And we would like to be part of that as Texas Parks and Wildlife. And feel we already are with our state natural area.
One last comment,
Mr.
Chairman. I fail to recognize one of my colleagues who cut his vacation short to come back and see about this project. Mr. Walt Dabney is here today, who, as you know, retired at the end of August and has been out hitting the trails for the last couple
retired.
Of months.
I don't know if
he's looking younger. I noticed the wrinkles are going away. But Walt Dabney was one of the very first folks who went out and looked at this
right.
piece of property and came back convinced that this would be one of the crown jewels and would be a transformative process for the State Parks Division. So I failed to mention Walt. He's been very important to not only this project but to the State Parks Division for a long time.
Yes, absolutely. I see him back there.
Good to be here.
Good to see you, Walt. Any other questions for Scott? Turn it back
Thank
over
you,
to
Mr.
you, Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This item will be subject to further discussion. And I think if you all could bear with me for another 5 minutes, we could set an all-time record for the Conservation Committee running long. But
okay, well, why don't we go another round?
No, I don't think I'll ask you to do that. Chairman Holt, this committee has completed its business.
Okay, well, thank you. And thank you for your patience, Commissioner Bivens, and all the commissioners, for that matter, and our public.